Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, Cindy, and how are you?
I know you were telling me something before the show started, so I didn't quite get it.
Oh, yeah, no, well, before... Last week when we were chit-chatting, I had asked you a couple of questions about my sister-in-law. That would be Lisa's sister, and apparently you were when I gave her back the info that I had asked, you had hit the nail on the head on more than a couple things, and she was like, "Oh my God, I want more." So I just wanted to let you know that she's going to be reaching out to you, and she's going to want to come and see you, because she's got more questions than just the ones that I asked. You know, she wants to know about her daughter, and she's going through a hell of a time with her ex, and she's got some legal stuff going on that she wants to know, whether or not it'll be okay.
Oh, good. And what's her first name, just so I know?
Her name is Katie.
Okay, I will look out for a Katie then. That's wonderful.
Look out for Katie.
I will look out for Katie.
Yeah, she was completely, she was like, "Oh my God, I need more. I'm like, "Okay, relax yourself."
Well, it happens sometimes when I do a psychic party, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm reading a lot of people, and, you know, some dead people come up and say certain things, you know, come through and say certain things, and people will deliver messages to these people, and they're so intrigued, and they, you know, they want a reading, and I can't even remember half the time what was ever said. I mean, I'm like, okay, well, maybe you got to refresh my memory about what came through in that reading, but they'll be like, "I can't believe all you knew. I can't believe all that came through." I go, "Well,
they're
pretty good. Spirit guides and dead people are pretty talkative, you know. They have a lot to say, so..." I mean, I find it amusing, you know, and always love when people, you know, give me some validation, too, because, I like to hear some feedback back. So I appreciate that you said that to me, by the way.
Oh my God. Absolutely. Absolutely. You are just, I tell people all the time, and like I said, you know, years ago, you know, and I think I said this on the show once, years ago, you had done a reading for a mutual friend of ours, and you cited some problems, with her children. And at the time, the children were very, very young, and the things that you were saying were completely, you know, unimaginable, you know. You were actually saying the kind of things that, you know, you just kind of sit there and you hope and pray don't come true, and that you're hoping that you can, you know, stop those things. And, you know, 10, 12 years down the line, Cindy, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with certain things. And it was completely, completely, like, if you ever needed any kind of validation, that's it. That, you know, 10 years prior to an event happening, you called it, you know, word for word, you called it, you know, and it was just absolutely amazing, you know. Terrible that it had to happen, you know, to the kid the way that it did, but still at the same time, you know, just a validation of just the insight that you do have.
And it's funny because I like the way you said, you know, it wasn't something I would want to come through. I always say I'm not the angel
of
death.
Of course not.
I am the preventer.
You don't ever want that.
I'm the preventer.
You don't ever. You, by telling the message, you don't, you're not wishing that on anybody by saying a message. Some messages are good to hear, and some messages are fantastic, and other messages are not so easy to give, and they're not so easy to hear, and you just kind of have to take them for what they are and say, okay, well, that's today, and it's, It's not what I do today, it's what I do every day. And if you want things to change, you have it within your means to change them. And if you continue to do the same things day in and day out, then guess what? You're going to get the same results. So the same thing that's being read for you today will be the same thing that you're going to get read on in 10 years from now, because you're not changing anything.
Exactly. And like even yesterday I was doing a reading and a woman's recently divorced, and you know, I was pointing out that her 9-year-old is quite manipulative and that the child's like 10,000 years old. She's had a lot of lifetimes. She knows what she's saying. And she gave me an example. She said, oh, my God, my daughter said the other day that when I start dating, she's going to make that person's life a living hell. So I better not start dating. And she said, my rose-colored glasses were on. I thought, how cute. She's 9 years old. She doesn't know what she's saying. She said,
yeah, okay.
You pointed out to me that this kid knows what she's saying. This is not cute. This is bullying. This is not nice. And I said, she's 9 years old. She has no right to tell you who you can date or what you can do, and nor does she have a right to say she's going to make someone's life a living hell. And I told her, well, you're going to go back and address your daughter, and you're going to say to her, I'm a lot bigger than you, and if anybody's going to make anyone's life a living hell, it will be me to you, because I control the purse strings, and I'm your mother. So you're never to repeat that again.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, how about that, you know, like, and I don't have children, so it's easy for me to say, you know, and for a short time I did have, you know, I was, you know, was blessed with being in a parental role, and I do hope to be in that role again, you know, someday in the future, but for right now I don't have children, and it's easy for me to say, but how about we just revert back to the days where our children don't get to talk to us that way? Our
exactly.
children don't have the right to disrespect a parent, you know, and if you are allowing your children to speak to you that way, then you're blowing that off as cute or anything else, then, you know what, then you're the one that has the problem, not the child. A child will sit there and a child will test you and a child will push every button that you have to see what happens when it gets pressed. And if you're the one that allows that behavior, then the problem isn't with the kid. The problem is with you as a parent.
Exactly. And it was funny because she's such a smart woman. And, you know, when I pointed out to her, it was like the bells went off in her head. I said, you know, she's got a lot of genetics of your husband, the man you've divorced, you know, the narcissism and the judgment. And that's a pretty narcissistic and judgmental thing to say, that, you know, you can't date and I'm going to make that person's life a living hell.
Oh, completely.
So, you know, pointing it out, I said, this is not cute. It's at 9 years old, you know, she already thinks that she could tell you what to do. And this is a little bit scary. So start dealing with this with a little tougher love and a little firmer hand before you have a teenager who's out of control. So these are
exactly.
things to prevent it from happening. It's not, you know, I don't want to see anything bad happen. I want to prevent it by, like, let's nip something in the bud. And sometimes people will get mad at me for the readings because they say I'm entirely wrong about a person that's never going to happen. And I'm like, well, I hope so, but I'm just telling you what came through. And they'll really fight me on it, and sometimes they'll even hate me on it. And years later, they will tell me, oh, my God, you were right. And I said, you know, you think I wanted to be right on that? But it's delivering the messages as I hear them. And, you know, I've learned to trust whatever source it is that they want to make our lives better and to prevent things and to just kind of let us know that maybe we need to start addressing this before it becomes something that we can't reverse.
Absolutely.
Well, I could see that my husband, who went out to the Hamptons, and I haven't talked to him in a while because I've had one reading after another, back to back to back, and beyond
surprise,
back to
surprise,
back to
surprise.
Back. I finally got to eat something. I was like, you know, the people kept coming 15 minutes early or whatever, and I'm like, there
oh,
goes
boy.
Lunch, there it goes, and I go, please let me get some dinner. You know?
I just need a snack. Can I just get a snack?
I just want a bite
okay,
of food.
So we're going to pick up TJ. Exactly, just a little bit, you know, just enough so you don't pass out while you're doing your readings,
right.
But not a drop more.
Okay.
So we're going to go over to TJ, and we're going to speak to him. And while you are speaking to your handsome husband over there, I'm going to go and start screening our first caller. So let's say hello to TJ first. Hi,
hello,
TJ.
Hello, dear.
Hi, TJ.
Nicole, hi. I'm out in Three Mile Harbor by myself out here. And do you want some rice later tonight?
No, thank you, because I've already just eaten, because I just mentioned that I was starving, so I did eat. So you can get yourself something, and I'll be just fine. And
okay.
Have a great sale. And
yep.
Thank you, and we'll speak to you later.
I love you, and it sounds like a great show. Have a good show, and thanks a lot, Nicole. Bye-bye, girls.
Okay, bye. Okay, so it's always nice to hear from my husband after a long day, and I know Nicole is screening our first caller. We have several callers that want to speak to us, and you know, we seem to get a theme that emerges from every show, so I'm always curious as to what theme will emerge from today's show. We've had themes of commitment phobia and people not committing at all to love, and we've been getting some pretty strong themes lately, so I'm curious as to what will emerge. Now, I know Nicole is still in her screening process, and here we is. Okay, so I was hoping that this would be who she picked through. Yes, my Irene. Okay, tell us a little, my listeners, I know who she is, but Nicole, you can give us a little insight on this. Okay, Irene had a baby 4 months ago, rough with father-child insight. Is it worth sticking it out? Okay. Now, it's funny because before Irene comes on to the radio show, I would like her to know that, you know, I've known Irene for years and years, and I'm so happy she has her new baby, her beautiful little baby daughter. And I was thinking of her a lot in the last 2 days, thinking that this isn't going to work with her baby's father, that there were some issues that were there prior to the birth of the child, and her spirit guides were telling me the issues are still there. So anyway, with that knowledge, Irene, I'm going to put you on air. Hello, Irene, you're live and on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, did you hear what I said, what your spirit guides were saying to me for the last couple of days?
No, actually.
Okay, well, what I was saying was that I was thinking about you for the last couple of days, and, you know, whenever I think
That's
about
so
somebody,
funny.
I now know it's not me thinking about them. It's usually their spirit guides popping a thought in my head, and they were discussing that the problems that were with your baby's father prior mm-hmm. to her birth are still there. And that they
okay,
were
yeah.
really concerned that this was not going to work. So I would
right.
tell you that's what was already channeled to me within 3 days, within the last 3 days.
That's interesting.
And you know, I know that, you know, he's a good father, I'm sure, because he's a good man. I happen to know mm-hmm. Irene's, you know, the father of her child. He's a very nice man. He's a good man. But the two of you had sort of grown apart and were more friends than lovers at the time. And
right.
I think he was hoping that when you had this baby, and I was thinking, well, you know, the first 4 months of having a baby, you're in love with the baby, and you kind of put your life on hold. But some of the issues that were there before were going to start surfacing. So now
right.
you're starting to think about, you know, where are you going to go? And I know you're back in school and you had a baby and there's a lot on your plate. And welcome to
yeah.
the history of womanhood. When they have a baby and they can't support, what are they going to be doing? I mean, I don't
right.
see that he's going to torture you in any way. I just think that it's going to be hard for you to stay living with him forever. So are you thinking of moving out in the future?
I think it's more so like, okay, well, basically reading your book really, really completely changed my life. You know, like I don't feel like I even function even remotely the same way that I used to in relationships as I do now. And I think like just becoming pregnant and going through that experience and connecting with this like beautiful soul, like it completely changed me entirely as a person. And I think that's the way that I've kind of grown past him, because I think that he's kind of still in that cellmate place that he's not growing with me. And that's why we're having these like tremendous conflicts together, you know?
Well, he hasn't done his inner homework at times with the issues that he has. And soulmate love demands you heal issues. And sometimes what happens over a period of time, and you've been together with him, how many, about 5 years now?
Seven
years. Okay, so you've already passed
yeah.
the five-year cycle, and now you're into the second five-year cycle, because relationships work in those five-year cycles. After a while, people who are soulmates, and if the one person is resistant to heal, what happens is the relationship starts to drag down the ladder of love from soulmate to something else. Because you're both nice people, I don't anticipate it will go toxic. You don't have to hate him to leave him. But it's sort of mediocre, kind of. Now you can't tell if you were soulmates to begin with or he was just a nice man to fit a plan in your life.
Right.
And
And the thing is, I met him at such a different place in my life than I am now, you know. So, I understand why we attracted each other at that time. But sometimes now when we have, like, conflict, I just kind of feel like, this feels old, like old stuff. Like, this doesn't feel like something that belongs in my life presently anymore, you know, if that makes sense. It kind of feels like this is something that's obsolete. I don't really understand why this is still going on because, like, my life isn't a dramatic one, you know.
It's going on because you have a baby. Now you did what I would call the oldest trick in the book, got pregnant just when you want to leave somebody. It's kind of the oldest trick in the book, whether you knew it consciously or not. And it would open up karma with, you know, this man for the rest of your life. And maybe that's what you wanted to do. You wanted to leave him, but you, part of you still wanted him forever in your life. And now you have that. But I don't think you want him forever in your life. And he was a good man to choose to have a baby for your father. I'm not at all thinking that was a bad decision. He's a good man.
It's hard for me to feel like, because I love my daughter so much, it's hard for me to feel like it was a trick because I just think she is such a blessing, you know.
And I'm not saying it's a conscious trick. I'm not saying you did it consciously. I'm just saying it happens. And maybe as time goes on, and it doesn't mean it was a bad trick or a bad, I mean, she was meant to be born, hook or by crook, because she's here. But, you know, it doesn't mean that you're going to have to live with him like in a husband-wife type of situation when you no longer feel that way about him. And I don't think he knows too much what you're thinking, by the way. I mean, you might be hinting at it. Maybe you're behaving in a way, but he's
communicative with my feelings.
But I think he thinks maybe you've got postpartum depression. You've got mommy hormones. You've got something. It would be hard right now for you to afford to live without him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, do you have to make a decision immediately? Is it something that you can't, you know, figure out? You know, how much more school do you have left so that you can start working?
I want a doctorate. So, so, I mean, like, to get to where I want to go and have, like, my doctorate degree, I mean, we're looking at another 5 years to where I'm actually sitting in a chair as a psychologist, like, from now to 5 years. Yeah.
And I know that part of Grant Me a Higher Love helped you to realize that you wanted to be a healer. You wanted to be a psychologist. You switched a whole career from music, which you were excellent at. And I'm not saying you won't have, have music in your life forever, but you made a dramatic shift in reinventing yourself, and you're definitely meant to be a psychologist. I see your Facebook post. I see everything that you're thinking, and I love it. But you're going to have to figure out where you're going to live and how you're going to make that. And, of course, you're back to, like, you know, the dark ages of women not being able to really leave men if they didn't have a profession and they didn't have an ability to make a living. It's not forever. But could you go back to New York and live with your mother? Could you do something else? You have to have some plan here. You have anything you want in the next 5 years. The universe wants you to be with a soulmate. I will tell you what your cards, you don't really have any negative cards except an inability to see your way out of here. But in the laws of attraction, you need to see where you want to be 5 years from now. You see yourself with a doctorate. You want your daughter to be happy. You want the man that's the father of your child to be happy. You want to be with a soulmate that you love, heart, soul, mind, and body. You need to visualize that and see it because you will get it. And but it's hard to stay living sometimes with a person long after it doesn't feel like this is right. And, you know, people do it for years and years and years. I think he's going to be devastated. He loves his daughter. Are you aware of that?
He does. He does. I can never say that he doesn't. He absolutely does. Yeah.
And, you know, the thought of you not living with him and with his daughter is a little overwhelming for him.
Right.
You would have to figure out, I mean, you can't necessarily transport her to New York without his saying it's okay, even if you wanted to come back to New York. Do you have any plan of your own here?
This is, there isn't a plan in motion yet. It's still in those preliminary stages of figuring it out, you know?
Well, I really had thought that you were going to leave him about 2 years ago. I thought you were going to already leave him.
Yeah.
And the fact
yeah.
that you, when you got pregnant from him, I was like, okay, now we've got the karma forever. Again, he's mm-hmm. a good man, and you know, there's no way in his, you know, you can definitely be good parents together and make mutual decisions because you both were friends first and then you were lovers. I mean, so mm-hmm. I think that can continue. But you're going to start, you know, feeling a little bit, I can't stay put here. And,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
I know you. You're strong-willed, and when you do make up your mind, you make up your
I
mind.
I do it, yeah. I
know that about you. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
I do.
You were hanging on to your music career a long time, and then all of a sudden, you just cut that. And you said, "Nope, that's it. I'm going to do this." And I was amazed at you and proud of you, and I thought it was the right decision. I think you'll probably do that here too, but you know, Mike would have to give some child support. I don't know if he makes enough
yeah.
money to afford to give you how much though. You know, it's
right.
So.
Right.
For now, I think it's enough that you've put it out to the universe that this isn't the man you're going to spend forever with. And the
yeah.
universe has heard it. And I don't think
yeah.
you can bring it back up to soulmate, only because he is over the age of 25 and
mm-hmm.
he's pretty resistant to healing.
Very resistant.
Okay, I'm telling you, he's very resistant to healing. And and it's funny because you're going to be a psychologist. People are going to pay you money to hear what you have to say and to help them. And you're living with a man who won't let you help him. I mean, that's going to be
yeah.
the most frustrating
yeah.
thing. But for whoever...
To be
whoever,
fair, though, I did a lot of healing after 25. So I feel like if I can do it, I feel like... I mean, if I can do it, anybody can do it. That's kind of like how I feel
about
it.
But you're not
you know?
A particularly narcissistic woman, manipulative liar. You're a truth teller. You don't lie to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've
yeah.
hit you pretty hard with truths. You know that. Other people would have probably
oh, definitely.
Hung up on me and not paid me for a reading. You have allowed me to say things that I thought, now she's going to hate me. Oh, I'm going to lose
mm-hmm.
Irene, who I love. Nope. And instead,
mm-hmm.
a week later, you'd say to me, I needed to hear that. You were right. So you are
yeah.
not a person who people can't tell truth to. You're not an
yeah.
overly judgmental person. So those you don't have the traits of somebody who can't be fixed. He has some ability to manipulate truth. He doesn't want to hear truth.
Yeah.
And
oh
he
my
practices
God. Yes.
denial,
yeah.
which is a form of manipulation. And he practices suppression and denial. Those are mechanisms that rewrite history and deny truth. So
yes,
his defense mechanisms are so strong. And, you know, he might even judge you harshly as you try to point things out. So he has different,
yeah.
different personality traits than you. So,
mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, he heard what I said in readings, and he was receptive, but I didn't see him. You know, I've known you guys a long time, and
yeah.
I haven't seen him execute the things that his spirit guides were telling him.
Yeah.
And it's sort of bad karma to open a reading to me, of all people, because I'm not just a psychic, I'm a mystic. And if you're being guided mm-hmm. and you don't listen, then you get the full whammy of karma. And
right.
the full whammy of karma is, you didn't listen, you're with a woman who's trying to help you and guide you, and you have this beautiful child who's supposed to, you know, help you heal also, and you're not allowing that to happen. So, you know, you might visualize that it might take you a year to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
but don't look at it as a prison. You know, the first year of life, it's actually good to have another hand, you know, and him maybe helping
yeah.
you. So
yeah.
it's kind of all good. But know that uh-huh. I don't see him in your 5-year plan in terms of living with him or, you know, and I see you having a soulmate, and your daughter's going to need to see a better version of love than she's seeing. It's not that you guys are horrible.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's not, you know, she's going to relive what she saw the first 5 years of life.
Right.
So, you know, try not to make it toxic, although I see it can have the potential to go toxic on its way out. if you're not careful. Because I could see.
Yeah. I feel like I'm starting to see that, and that's really, like, that's why I'm at, like, where I'm, like, I need to call Cindy, because, like, I'm starting to see that, and that's, like, and that's the part of it that just feels, like, ugh, this just doesn't feel like me anymore. Like, I just don't function this way anymore.
Right, and of course, we can't, soulmates are there to help us grow and evolve, and sometimes we grow and evolve because we're with a soulmate who won't grow and evolve. And we have to do that in spite of them. And they try to drag us down, which means when we're trying to say, well, I've changed and, you know, I have a much more enlightened viewpoint, I'm spiritual, they'll try to drag it all the way down into the gutter and push you crazy buttons until you look like a lunatic. And then they'll say, okay, so much for your enlightenment, so much for your, you know, you're not like that anymore. They'll try to drag us down.
Exactly.
And I don't want to see that happen with you, so... You know, you're going to have to figure a way to, you know, tell God what you want, make a plan slowly, ask the universe to guide your steps out of here. I remember being in my marriage and not knowing, I couldn't see my way out of it. And all that I learned was to practice the laws of attraction, to see what my life would be like 5 years from then. And I had that life. It manifested. But I really didn't know how to do it at the time. So your job is to see the separation without drama and trauma. Your daughter growing up with two parents who both love her and are on the same page with her education and with her upbringing, who can be in the same room with each other through all of her important events and are actually friends with each other. But know that it isn't going to be easy because he's got a part of him that his spirit guides are saying is the old brotherhood of men who thinks he owns his daughter. And at some level, he's going to fight more than you thought he would fight. And which might mean he might try to fight for custody, not that he wants full custody, but he'll do anything to hold on to you. So I just think it's funny how men can go back to that old brotherhood. You know, I own my child. You're not taking this child away from me. And his family.
It's just interesting because I feel like, well, if you want to hold on to me, these are the things that you need to do to hold on to me. If you don't do those things, you're not going to have me. It seems pretty simple to me. Like,
well, this is why what I'm trying to tell you is it's very bad karma when people are telling you that that these are things you need to heal or work on, and this is what I need, and they yes us to death, sure, and they never do anything that they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because inevitably, that isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, just know that for you, you're going to have to realize that he's very resistant to heal.
He is. Yeah, that's my biggest frustration.
And his spirit guides told me that yesterday. Okay?
Wow. Yeah.
And I was expecting to hear from you. I didn't know it was going to be the next day. It was even faster than I thought it was going to be.
That's so funny.
But they were beginning to be aware that he's very, very resistant. So what you need to do is try to figure out ways that you can make this without drama and trauma as much as you could.
Yeah.
You know, a child does not necessarily fix a relationship that's in trouble. He can, as
of
a matter of fact, she's little and this is as easy as she's going to get. Way do they get she gets bigger and she's got a will and a mind of her own, it gets harder.
Yeah.
So, and when children are younger, it's easier for them to adjust to a situation of parents being divorced because she will not know really anything else.
Yeah.
So, you know, that might be something you want to try to do it, you know, before she gets too old, you know, or older.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can do it. It's just not going to be easy. But I'm not seeing that this could be brought back up to soulmate. It's sort of lost that window. I mean, you can try. You're with him. You can continue to try and give your messages so that when your daughter's grown up and she asks, well, you didn't try hard enough, and you could tell her, yes, I did. I gave my all, and maybe you need to just feel you've done all that you can do. But the feeling that you're having, it may go away, by the way. You know, you might get busy with your daughter, and for 3 months you might feel like this is working. It will come back every 3 to 6 months that you want to leave him, and it'll happen probably for the next 30 years if you stay. It
right,
doesn't
and
go
no,
away.
Can't
I'm
do
just
that.
Telling you, it doesn't go away. It doesn't.
So we're not
I mean,
doing
I've
that.
Lived this. I've lived this, okay? So
yeah.
I'm telling you, there wasn't more than 3 or 4 months in my 29 years of marriage that I ever went without thinking I wanted a divorce.
Wow,
so,
yeah.
And I don't want you to do that. You will show her a bad version of love.
I agree.
You know, the universe will call you on your healing ability. I mean, if you can't break free from a, you know, toxic relationship or one that's not good, how are you going to help your clients?
Yeah, I completely agree.
You know,
agree.
God calls
completely
healers
agree.
On their bullshit. We're expected to heal our issues.
Definitely. Definitely.
You know, I mean, I love when people are going to psychologists that are miserable relationships and, you know, they're getting guidance from the spirit. Why are you listening to these people?
Mm-hmm.
They're not living their truth. So I'm
yeah.
just knowing that you'll be okay. We'll set something up for, you know,
okay.
for in July and meditate that this has already been determined by his spirit guides and yours that,
yeah.
The odds of him changing are about 10% at this point. Is he
yeah.
smoking a lot of
yeah.
pot, by the way?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't
good.
Smoke or drink.
Good. So he's keeping
yeah, he
himself clean. Good. So, you know, at least if, I was thinking, well, we could maybe if, you know, he was getting off of something he's doing, we could maybe fix him. But if he's not doing any of those stuff.
Exactly.
Then I
yeah.
can't even tell you what you could maybe work on. So at this point, what you're feeling is truth, and the universe will help guide you out of this. And you know, we'll work on that in July. But
yeah,
I'm not surprised by your phone call.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It just means that you're being very divinely guided.
Okay. Then it's a good thing.
Exactly.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're going to try to get to another caller tonight. Email me again, and I'll set something up with you.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
You sound lovely. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Nicole, did you hear any of that, by the way?
Yes, I did. I was listening the whole time.
You know, it's so funny because somehow we're always happy and optimistic that somehow something will change or, you know, a baby is a wake-up call and sometimes you're hoping maybe, you know, having a child will help heal, but... And we talk about it all the time on this show. Certain people are just resistant to heal.
Yep.
Just resistant to heal. And,
well,
you know.
Some people are resistant. Some people just, they convince themselves that they don't have to heal. They
right.
convince themselves that they're fine just the way they are. And that's okay for them, but it's okay for those around them.
And again, you know, if we're on a healing path, then we can't enable people. And if we're allowing mm-hmm. them not to heal, then that's negative karma. So if
yep.
somebody's not going to heal with us and we're giving them the opportunity, then that's something that we have to realize if they're not going to help, we have to walk away. It's
of
really
course,
hard
of course.
To do. It's really hard to do, though.
I
mean, I
kind of knew
even...
where that whole thing was going beforehand, and I actually said something to Irene in the chat room.
So what did you say?
Well, I didn't want to give. I said, Irene. I said, I think I already know based on her questions and based on how we began the show, and based on how I began the show last week and ended the show last week with talking about my sister-in-law. I kind of already knew that that's kind of where things were being channeled into a similar circumstance, and my sister-in-law is in a very similar circumstance to Irene, you know, where she's, you know, kind of like, you know, I have a kid with somebody and he loves his daughter and you know, I want to make things work, but I'm just not feeling the relationship. It's just not working. And the reason why it's not working is because he's not working for it, you know, and it's the same exact situation. And unfortunately, you know, I understand where Irene is coming from as far as wanting to, like, maintain that for her daughter. And he does love his daughter, and there's nothing saying that he can't continue to love his daughter. He just doesn't have to be with Irene to do it, you know. And,
right.
you know, showing that baby, you know, showing that baby an example of good love and functional love is a lot better than trying to patch a relationship together that is just destined to end anyway.
Right. And unfortunately, you know, it's hard because, you know, to break up a family is never easy. And again, sometimes it's better for her to do it sooner than later because her child might get, you know, at least used to that she has this kind of a mommy and daddy. I mean, it's not a question of if she leaves him, it's when she leaves him. And, you know, it's, I see that a lot in readings, by the way. I know that they're going to separate, they're going to have to. But people just tend to just drag feet, and there's all kinds of reasons why we have to drag feet. And economics is not a joke. She has a mouth to feed besides her own. Welcome to womanhood. You know, even if a woman were to leave a man, if she couldn't feed her children, how is she going to leave? There was, like, no way. And, you know, it's a difficult, and that's why I will stress to women, young women, we have a lot of young listeners, get yourself educated, get yourself a career of some sort, so that when you're young, I mean, start when you're 18, have a career as your number one goal, so that by the time you're 22 or 23, you've got a career, you've got a goal, and this way you can, you know, plan your life. Unfortunately, your generation is getting careers much later than they should have, so it's, you know, it's not that it's a horrible thing, but, you know, she's stuck because she's older and she put off her education until now, so... Women, put your career as a top priority. Don't you think, Nicole, that should be a top priority?
Yes, I think that you know, I think that overall my generation needs to just get their shit together.
Exactly.
And I'm not even talking about Irene right now, because Irene, you know, obviously she's going for her doctorate. She's you know, getting herself on track, and she's developing, you know, a good path for her and her baby. I'm not talking about her. I am talking about the rest of my generation, however. And, you know, we need to get our shits together. Enough with the friggin' booty calls. Enough with the I don't want to commit. Enough with the tomorrow is another day. Just enough. Make a decision. Stick with the decision. And if you want to change your mind later, change your mind later. But put yourself on a path.
And of
course, stop avoiding the path altogether just to lounge out and do, you know, whatever. You need to pick a path and follow the path.
And get something, because that's my mission has been to empower women, to make sure they're educated. I mean, the one thing that I wanted more than anything was to be educated. I mean, it was so phenomenally important to me. And, you know, it was prior to the Women's Liberation Movement, mind you, when I was born. It was 1953. But to me, education was like the most important thing, to be educated. And, you know, I can't stress that enough. You've got to figure out a career, and, you know, even if it's something that, you know, doesn't manifest, you know, immediately, the career, at least if you have some education under your belt, or even something career that you're working at, and you can come up with another career later on if it doesn't work, but find a way to support yourselves, women. It's ultimately important. And, you know, women come here all the time in their 50s and they're getting divorced and they have no career, and now they're looking for a man to take care of them. It's not going to happen in the 21st century. You got to take care of yourself. You got to support yourself. Nobody's going to support you. And you know, it's crucially important. And, you know, it's a brave new world for women. So, you know, advocate that women be educated. And, you know, even when I was a children's entertainer, I would portray, believe it or not, the character Barbie. Okay, now people would say to me, who knew me during my feminist days, how could you portray Barbie? And I'd be like, excuse me, she's an American icon. Somebody has to portray her. I'm a liberated woman, and let me be a liberated Barbie. And I would say to the girls, oh, pretty's interesting for about 15 minutes. You better have more to offer than that. Get educated. You must be bright. You have to be intelligent. I mean, it's teaching young women, think about something, how important, phenomenally it is to be a woman who could take care of herself. I mean, even if your husband died or something happened to the man you're with, you always have to be able to feel like you have something to fall back on. And I advocate everybody learn how to wait on tables. The very least, you can get a job in a minute if you know how to wait on tables. Be a waitress. At least you have a fallback something. You know,
just
have something that you know how to do. I mean,
Look at me. I changed my mind how many times until I found the right thing for me. You can always change your mind. But if you don't walk the path, you really don't know what's going to lie ahead. You know, you're avoiding making a decision because you don't know what that decision is going to hold. But you not making a decision is not bringing clarity to anything.
No, of course not. And, of course, Irene has been blessed with a daughter, and her daughter needs to see how a woman – reinvents herself, educates herself, and everything that she's doing. So it's very important what Irene's doing, that, you know, she's getting herself a career and one that she's going to love and be great at. And, you know, we're going to work a long time. We're going to live to be 100, so we're going to work a long time. So we may have 3 to 5, 7 careers. What difference does it make? But, you know, I find that what's happening with younger people, women particularly that come, they're busy watching, you know, reality TV shows, and they want to be like the Real Housewives, and they want to have, like, men support them, and they want to have all this money, and they don't necessarily want to work. TV is making people stupid. So, you know, shut off the television. Don't watch those bullshit shows and start, you know, putting your top priority to learn as much as you can when you're young. I mean, my generation usually finished college by the time they were 22. I mean, I got through college in 4 years. I mean, that's what we didn't fail courses. And, I mean, you know, you paid your tuition or you had your scholarship. You didn't say, well, okay, I failed, you know, 3 courses out of 5, but I could pay for them again. No. This is your 4 years. You get your education in 4 years. You don't get it in 40 years. I mean, I love the people going to Suffolk Community College. You know, they're not getting a doctorate if they stay there 8 years. They're getting an associate's degree. You know, you've got to get through this already. So make up your mind. Let's get back to where, you know, education matters and careers matter. And, you know, if you want to go to, you know, beauty school and you want to be a beautician, it's wonderful. But come up with a career. You know, think about a career. I mean, I know you struggled for the last couple of years back and forth. You didn't know what you wanted to do when you grew up. And, you know, you found your way. You know, believe me, when I grew up to be a children's entertainer, that wasn't what I didn't think I was going to be a clown when I grew up. It's not what I dreamed of. I created something out of the air. But, you know, it was something that no matter what, if you're educated and, you know, it will work. And when I went to career day at one of the schools here, you know, they had, you know, lawyers and doctors and everybody for career. I'm the clown for career day. Could you imagine this school? I steal the show and the kids are asking me, how do you grow up to be a clown? And I said, first of all, you got to be very educated because you deal with children. They're extremely smart. So first you get educated, then you become a clown. But we can do many things. It's not, isn't that funny? And, you know, I'd love it. And, you know, I would have like these intelligent conversations. Once I had one with a 3-year-old, I'm painting her face and her parents are all doctors and, you know, father's like a brain surgeon. And I'm painting her face and she's saying to me, I don't understand grown-ups. I don't understand. I don't think they're very smart. I try to talk to mommy and daddy about God and things like that, and they don't want to talk about it with me. And she's going this whole philosophical discussion about God and everything, and I'm talking to her like, yeah, well, you know, you're here to teach them and educate them. That's your job, and, you know, they'll learn. And so I'm leaving, and she shouts out to me, Daddy, I do believe the smartest people in the world are clowns. And he looked at me and said, I'm a brain surgeon. My daughter has never told me I'm smart once. And I started laughing. I said, well, maybe you need to talk to her about what she wants to hear. So no matter what job we may find ourselves doing, we do it to our best of our ability, and we have a lot to learn from it. But come up with a career, come up with a way of supporting yourself. That's, you know, sort of the theme for tonight, I think. Now, we do have Maria. Do I know her? Or is she someone entirely new?
You know what? I don't know if Maria knows you personally, but this is her first time calling into the show. And she is in Long Island. And right now she is in a relationship, and she's not sure if she should stay or go. It is a long-term relationship, about 6 years. But, Cindy, for the past year, she's been having her doubts. So let's
now, what does that
Maria.
Say to you? What does that say to you?
I'll put it this way. She said it was a 6-year relationship, and I said, Maria, is it safe to say that you've had doubts for the last year? And she said, yeah. I said, okay.
Because we know the relationships work in 5 years. Cycles.
5-year cycle.
And every 5 years, God says, fix it or leave it. Do something.
Yep.
Now, what I will say before I talk to her is anytime we're in any sort of relationship, including a job or a love relationship or a friendship, that for more than 1 year, we're not sure if we should stay or go, it means it's time to go. Because when we're loving our job, when we're loving our relationship, we don't think about, should I stay or go? We think, oh, my God, what if this is taken from me? What if I don't have this? So already the answer is in her question. So We'll put her on the air, but you know that, Nicole. Don't
I know,
you know that when.
Now it's time to tell Maria this. And let's see what Maria's cards hold. So hopefully if this does not end well for her, she can go on to something better. So hello, Maria. You are on the air.
Hi, Cindy. Hi, how
Maria.
Are you guys? Hi,
good.
Everything.
Good. I'm sure you got a little bit of listening to what we were saying to Irene as well. Isn't it funny when you happen to call in a night when she's got a similar kind of situation going on there?
Definitely. I agree.
And, you know, for I think you guys had started out as soulmates, by the way. Do you remember loving this man, heart, soul, mind, and body when you first met him?
Yes. And the hard thing is he is a really good person. That's
is Irene's. as is Irene's guy. So we're not talking about the son of a bitches that, you know, you have to leave them, they're bad. The hardest relationships to leave are ones where the person is actually a good enough person.
Mm-hmm. And it makes it so much harder.
It makes it harder because you're an old soul, by the way, and older souls do not like to hurt people. I mean, you're going to start wishing he falls in love with somebody else, and that will get you off the hook. So you don't have to be the bad guy here breaking up with him. And if it were in the history of arranged marriages, you and Irene would have hit pay dirt. You're with men who are decent men, hardworking, will bring home money, will not cheat on you or be awful to you. You might have even spent a lifetime happy. And I do believe that Irene has had a past life marriage with Mike, the guy she's with. And I believe that you've had a past life with this man. Mm-hmm. And in terms of those lifetimes, it was a better than average marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you were with a good man. The longer you stay with him, by the way, the longer you're going to stay with him. Do you mind me asking how old you are?
27.
Okay. That's what I thought. Because now if you stay with him another 2 years, you're getting to that age where, you know, it's time to get married. My eggs are getting
and
old.
And he wants to settle down. That's why I'm nervous. It's like, okay, I need to leave now before the question gets popped, you know.
Right, and you're still young enough that, you know, the universe will bring you another soulmate. We have more than one soulmate. If you spend 3 more years with him, you're more likely to marry him and do like, okay, because you'll say you stay 4 more years, you're going to be at the 10-year mark, you'll be 31. It would be natural to get married and then, you know, have babies because it's all follows in that.
Plans out, exactly.
You're never going to have that feeling back with him because not all soulmates are meant to last forever. He was one that was meant to last for about 5 years. And, you know, at the 5-year mark, you were beginning to realize you don't feel the same way you felt about him in the past. Do you feel he takes you for granted? Is that what's going on here? Or?
Not really. I feel, to be honest, I met someone else.
I was waiting for you to come fess up here, girlfriend.
Now, I met someone else.
That
and
doesn't
I feel
make
like, I don't
you
know.
A bad girl, okay?
No.
Picture that love always comes from God and someone who's died. The universe is trying to show you that we have more than one soulmate. And they brought this man. He may or may not be the knight in shining armor, by the way. He may not be the one you're going to spend your life with. He may be the man that helps you break away from this one. But know that you didn't choose to go out and meet someone. Soulmates are brought to us as we go about our life. And you wanted to share how you met him. I'm sure you just went about your life.
Well, we were my boyfriend currently. We were on a break, so I decided to go on a dating app, and I was like, "Let me give this one more try." And then we met, and we've been inseparable ever since. And I feel guilty even saying that, but I just can't help how I feel towards this other person.
Okay, and there should be, now what's going on is, I love when you say you went on a break. People that love each other don't take breaks from love. You take breaks from work, you know, you take breaks from other things, but you don't take breaks from love. Your generation takes breaks from love, which I think is absurd, but the point is, if you were, and love can be fixed with 2 feet in a relationship or taking 2 feet out. So maybe you were taking 2 feet out to see what it is.
Yeah.
Now, the fact that you went on a dating app and nobody meets anybody of significance on those unless it's meant to be, okay? I'm just telling you. That the odds of you meeting someone you have a soulmate connection with a dating app are so low that it would have to be somebody you were supposed to meet.
So, and that's why I truly believe, like, I was supposed to meet this person because I was about to delete it, and I was like, let me try one more time. And then ever since then, it was just...
Now, he may be drawn to you because you're in a relationship. And you may find when you leave your boyfriend, this guy has commitment issues, and maybe he's going to say, I don't really want a committed relationship. So be prepared that he may have commitment issues.
Okay.
Because he may be drawn to you because you are with someone else. He knows about your other boyfriend, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Because I can see that this is a pretty honest relationship. Do you feel a soulmate connection with this guy? Do you feel a heart connection?
Yeah.
A soul. He's making you listen to love songs again. How about with your minds? You communicate.
Yes.
How about with your bodies? You have a chemistry.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. God allows people to have what's an affair, and you're not married, but we'll still call it an affair because whatever, for up to 1 year without incurring negative karma, because at some level, it's, you know, particularly with a marriage, with someone who's only in a relationship, usually God allows 6 months. How long have you been seeing the two of these guys now?
Two.
Okay. You know, God understands it would be stupid for you to leave a long-term relationship unless you see what's really here. And the prince that becomes the beast usually takes about 3 months. So you never know who someone is for about the first 3 months because all love starts out looking good. Now, is he starting to want you to leave your boyfriend? Has he said that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I want to hear that. I don't want to hear him because that would tell me he's a commitment phobic if he's perfectly happy with you. You know, seeing your boyfriend and him at the same time.
No, he's fed up already. He's like, you
okay,
need
thank
to
you. I love the guy. Tell him I love him for that. Okay. Because we can't, we didn't come this far in liberation to have our cake and eat it too. Now, some aspects of your relationship with your boyfriend of 6 years have some aspects of your parents' marriage going on there. You know, we always have to relive our parents' marriage. What was your parents' marriage like?
It's not good.
Okay, thank you. Now, we're little, and when we're little, we come from heaven, we think we know everything, and we think we're fixers. We say, if I were married, I'd be so lovey-dovey. Nobody fight, nobody cheat, nobody drink, nobody do anything wrong, because I could fix everybody.
Yeah.
We get a little bit bigger and go, why the fuck did these people marry each other in the first place?
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody was the prince or princess that became the beast. Now, no, did your parents never divorce?
They're still together. They never divorced.
Okay, that's even worse.
They're not happy. Yeah.
So what you're doing is reliving their marriage. You're not happy fully with your ex, and yet you're not capable of leaving. If your parents had shown you if love starts out good and then it sucks or it gets mediocre, you have a right to leave, it might be easier for you to have left this relationship. Now God is asking you to stop judging your parents. Okay, you don't live with him, so you're not breaking up a home. You don't have babies and other mouths to feed, so it's a lot easier for you to leave him than it would be for your mother to have left your father. You, do you realize that?
Yes.
Okay, so without any of those aspects, it's still hard because, you know, we believe, you know, we made a vow, we, you know, we should stay, we're loyal, we believe sometimes any man is better than no man, and it's hard for women to leave unless there's another man there. So maybe this man has been brought to help you out of it. But more what you've going on is your boyfriend's parents' marriage. Do you know about that one?
Horrible. And his dad recently passed away.
Oh, that's the man in my house, the father that's here. Okay, good, because I want to get rid of the people that don't belong in my house.
He just passed away 2 months ago, and that's why I also feel guilty leaving because of what
it's
happened.
It's not good timing. Now, know that his father likes you very much. His father was not the easiest man on earth, and the only
way
he was
horrible.
Okay, he's a bastard. I'm just telling you. He likes me. He thinks I'm funny. He told me I'm funny. He likes me. But he was a bastard. He had his cake and eat it too. He was not a good man at all.
Nope, not at all. He was horrible.
Not a good role model. Yeah. Nothing.
Nope.
And he's apologetic because he's going to have to spend time watching what he taught his son. And that's not a very good version of love. Now, compared to his parents' war zone, your parents is not necessarily a war zone, okay?
No.
Somebody shuts the hell up and it's kind of mediocre.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
That's what you've sort of got going on. You're trying to keep it that way. His parents fought like cats and dogs. They were truly toxic love.
Yeah.
With an unconscious contract, no matter what you do or I do, we don't abandon each other. So they were really, so your boyfriend thinks this is a great relationship because you're not having a war zone. Okay. His father will help you out of this. He says, I will give you 1 month before I pop thoughts in my son's head that you're cheating on him and go check up. So he's in agreement that he won't do anything for 1 month. Okay. I don't know if I would trust this man fully. He's recently dead, and he was a liar on earth, so I'm not so sure he'll live by his vow.
Yeah.
But he will then let his son know what's going on, and then you're going to look like the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Know that it is bad timing, but usually a person might stay in a relationship that should end for 20 years because they don't want to love somebody who can die on them. And if you guys have already gone down to sort of mediocre, that's not the highest love. And if you died, he could probably go on Match.com and find another you. So he might be happy.
I'm just here to start over. That's my whole fear. And I don't know, do I leave this person to start something fresh or...
Now, you're not leaving him. You're not leaving him for this man. You're leaving him because you should have left him without a man being there. At the five-year mark, if his father hadn't died and stuff like that, I think you might have gone through with just ending it. But know that you were brought this man to show you we have more than one soulmate. That not all love is meant to last forever. What you're doing in leaving your boyfriend is doing what your mother should have done. You're divorcing your father. You're showing it's possible to leave, but you have to do it without drama and trauma. You know, your intention in leaving was not to hurt him. You know, you're going to lose both of these men after about 3 months because, you know, the man is going to get fed up. 3 months from now, he's not going to be wanting to, you know, wait around for you to make up your mind. Your other boyfriend will probably find out about it. He's suspicious already. His gut's telling him something's not kosher here. I mean, you haven't been wanting to have sex with him. He's wondering what's going on.
It's been months.
And he's like, knowing that's not you and there's something wrong. Okay. What you're going to do is figure out the right words to tell him. You know, it's a calculated risk to leave. But the longer you stay with the man you've been with for 6 years, the more likely you're going to walk down the aisle with the wrong man. Your mother and father should have never married each other, by the way. They should have never married each other. By the time they were even walking down the aisle, it was over. So you're going to duplicate your parents' marriage. And you don't want to do that.
I don't want that at all. But
and you swore you'd never be them. You swore that, right? Now, what you're being told to do is... within a month or so, that's 3 months after his father died, and just tell him it's, you know, it's not working. And, you know, I need to move on. He's going to ask you if there's somebody else. You know, he's not stupid. You know, it's your choice whether how if you want to be honest with him or not. If he knows there's somebody else, then he's going to play victim and say you left him for another man. You really were going to leave him before this man came in the picture. But again, sometimes the man brought is just a man to help us out of a relationship. He may not be for every guy. That doesn't mean it was wrong. It meant he helped you leave something and made you ready for you to be able to be when another soulmate comes. So just go forward with it. You're not a bad person. Did your dad have an affair on your mom?
Not that I know of.
Okay, because it doesn't appear here that he did. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they did because, you know, the marriage isn't all that great. So, you know, when people tell me somebody cheats, it's not a good marriage. Somebody's going to cheat. That's not this. But just
know
that.
Do you feel like this new person is like my soulmate? Because I feel like it is, but I'm just having anxiety of taking that risk.
Well, because everybody likes the devil they know. So everybody stays with the person. That's what your mother and father say together. It's the devil they know. He is definitely a soulmate. Whether he's one that's meant to last a year or forever, it's hard to tell. But the man that you're with now is no longer your soulmate, and he won't ever be one again. So no matter what, you're not going to fix that thing. And know that he's not a bad person. But you're keeping him from finding another love. His father will guide him and another soulmate in the future. Not that he will pick him. The soulmate will have to already be determined by God. This man can't, you know, pick anything. He's not a good man. But know that it's up to you to become honest. You know, the truth is invaluable. You mean, were you the one who wanted to take the time out? Okay, so you knew you wanted to leave him. The fact that you found somebody else is God's way of helping you leave. But I'm not seeing you be able to fix the one that you've been with for 6 years.
Yes.
You know, it was over in about the 5-year mark.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sort of a mercy killing.
Mm-hmm.
Do me a favor and call in 4 weeks from now.
Okay.
By 4 weeks from now, you'll know more about the man you're with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to see that's when the prince becomes the beast if they have issues. And know that at that point you'd be expected to be honest and, you know,
mm-hmm.
if he, you know, try not to smear it in his face or have somebody else. If he insists on knowing the truth, insists on knowing the truth, then you have to tell him.
Okay.
I mean, he practices a lot of denial. He'd rather not know the truth, by the way.
Yeah.
So, but you're not being a bad person. You're being a person who God does not want you walking down with the wrong aisle with the wrong man. Otherwise, you're going to bring children into a family that's dysfunctional.
Yeah, and I don't want that, especially with his family dealt with that, and I see with my family, I don't want that.
Right, and again, your children that want to be born to you are trying to guide you to the man you're supposed to be with, to have children with. So,
Thank
call
you.
In again.
Sure.
Good luck to you, and
thank you so much.
Don't beat yourself up too much.
Okay, thank you so much.
Nicole,
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. We're at the end of our show, Nicole. Do you have anything you want to say? So we had two. Did you see the theme for tonight? We had women in long-term relationships. Wasn't that odd?
I love it.
I love it. It was a similar theme. I knew there was going to be a theme emerging, and it's like sometimes not all relationships are meant to last forever. Isn't that one of the karmic principles in Grant Me a Higher Love?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
See? And now
Once again,
of the important
Sydney,
ones.
You are correct.
That's right. And so... thank you, Nicole. We'll all speak soon, and have a very good week.
And you do the same, Cindy. My love to TJ.
Okay, thank you so much. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.